Into the 5 foot shawty from the barrio. Longest running hero in the game, Super Mario. A2 sets of 8 bars from Cyrac, got him sprinting to the studio. It's time to get this cardio. I'm synonymous with Iconicus. Just a part of being rap. Pharaoh built them pyramids and obelisks. I'ma let it spew from out the bottom of my consciousness. Turning rap stars to old hacks, that's synonymous. You don't get it, check your Twitter feed or your literacy. Diamonds out this African mind, enrich you lyrically. Every line formed from the pressure to be the greatest. Now I'm spitting out jewels of semi-precious Gabby should be. Hope I can change the face of hip-hop in my lifetime, or I'd be forced to sever several MC's lifelines. Cause I developed in the veteran organically, all eating up all this GMO rap, the vanilla ice kind. They told me I would bring him back to life, soul to soul. Showed up and had the fans attracted like a pose and pose. Rock cook up all this dope shit in the lab, don't watch the freshest cats expire after the first hit overdose. Prolific with my verbal illustration, Basquiat. Bars like a beautiful prayer, the Al-Fatiha. Cause I'm a Nat Washington, DC, Marvel, and Atlantis, and them both together made me supernatural. Pretty little Loch Ness monster. A piff from out of nowhere and a cloud of knock chomper. Launching atoms out the gates of my esophagus. Former universes at the base of my superior subconscious mind. I'm inclined to be reborn like the phoenix is. When every track I blaze, invade the double helixes. Embed the label on your genes like a brand name. Everybody knows I rock the standard of what a genius is. Yeah.
I hate to say this because it's really embarrassing, but I was not familiar with you until Rhymeslayers posted your video. And I was like, oh, who's this? And I clicked and I'm like, oh man, she's dope. And the funny thing is, I got scolded by my brother Ali. Yeah, like, you know, whenever he says something, I just always take it like it's my cool dad telling me that I'm fucking up. I'm older than him, but I still look at him like, right, you know. Right. So I put on Twitter, I was like, shit, I've never heard her and she's dope as fuck.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Dead in Hip Hop. We're joined by two special guests. So what's up, y'all? Give us a little bit about, you know, who you are and your background and stuff like that.
I'm MC. I've been doing it for about 8 years. Originally from Washington, D.C., now in Atlanta. So yeah, I mean, I guess I would be classified as like a conscious MC because the lyrics that I spit have meaning and, you know, they're very intentional about like not perpetuating like the common stereotypes we see in like rap, like, you know, the whole sex, drugs, and violence thing, trifecta that we so often see. You know, it's funny because like I could be the one to talk about that. I'm from the hood, I've seen it all, but you know, I choose to evolve beyond that. So I've been working with Soul Messiah since the inception of my career. You know, our intention is about putting out good music, you know, because the stigma behind like conscious music is that like the beats aren't good, the music doesn't sound good. Yeah, you're talking a good game or you're lecturing to us, but it's not palatable to people. But we create music that is, and people who normally aren't looking for that type of music are attracted to what we do as well.
I'm Soul Messiah. So y'all know. But I'm a DJ / producer. Let me start it off with B-Boy DJ.
Breakdance.
I did the whole thing. So, but I was working on some music, I think, one day, and me and her were making jokes in the studio. She was in the studio visiting, and she was like, I can write a rhyme. And she did, and it was pretty good.
I'm always embarrassed to share that today.
My mainstay is production. You know, I do the beats. Mm-hmm. And I worked on a lot of different people, but over the years, working with her, I get more from it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's something I can take home, show my mom and my children, you know what I mean? Yeah, you can listen to this, you know, like a lot of other stuff. Even though I worked on Dead Prez, Jay-Z, and Chamillionaire, and that stuff was, you know, was good stuff, but I get more fulfillment from what me and her do, actually.
So it's interesting hearing that you've owned the Rhymer for 8 years. How do you have 13 projects? Like, that's crazy. Like, are you one of those rappers that's just constantly writing? Like,
not even. I think I get bored quickly. Mm-hmm. So when I produce an album, or you know, when I'm writing, I get tired of performing the same songs, or you know, I'm constantly like trying to evolve and develop myself as an artist. So I'm like, okay, time for something new, you know?
New fan here. Mike put me up on your Metamorphosis mixtape, and
And I think you told me, didn't you mention that it's like it was like pretty much some old songs that you put together for that? And
yeah, so, there were five new songs.
And so you're doing this, what's this, Wisdom Wednesdays? Is that like leading up to your album, or is it just something you just want
to
do?
Partially leading up to the album and leading up to the official release of the Metamorphous EP, which is just the collection of newer songs.
Okay.
And then this is a way for me to like exercise my writing chops. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about how Prince like wrote for 3 hours mandatory a day.
Wow.
And when he was negotiating the release with Warner Brothers, he like just dropped 1,000 songs on them. He wrote so prolifically. Yeah. He has like tons of albums and collab albums with different people that are just waiting. Wow. You know what I mean? So that like inspires me, and I, you know, when I think of like other artists who are constantly just devoting a little, just a fraction of their day to writing, I want to develop and get better with time, and yeah, just really just keeping me sharp.
Keeping you sharp.
If there's one project that you had to tell, I know it's hard, but if you had one project you had to tell like a new fan, like this is what you need to check out because this sums up for the most part what I'm trying to get out there in the universe, which one would that be?
Maybe Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm. How long ago was that?
That was
2013.
Let's do this. Was that 2013?
Oh,
no, that was 14.
Thank you. Oh, shit.
No, it really wasn't. Yeah, maybe hot. Nebuchadnezzar.
This is hot.
The cover is, by the way, y'all remember Beach Rhymes and Life?
Of course.
The artist did that.
Oh.
That scam too.
Wow.
You know, and then the actual original art comes from a brother named Imhotep out of New Jersey, now in Atlanta, who does all of the, you know, the Black Woman is God shirts and the Nubia, those Nubia shirts. The guy who did his hat, actually.
Same guy. Man, yeah.
So I like she said, the collaboration on the whole thing was real fun.
So yeah, like just going back to the whole line, says you had, because you haven't like officially announced it like that, right?
Yeah, this would be like the launch with like the Metamorphous EP, but I'm excited to be joining them. They're all very like dedicated to like real music and, you know, I'm in good company. They're very like, they're very excited about putting out, you know, independent, like original stuff. You know what I mean? All of their artists kind of reflect that. They're all like their own people, their own MCs. They don't try to conform to like mainstream parameters of what it means to rap, you know? So I think I fit in that realm or whatever. And I think that it's just a really good fit. Sadiq, who is the owner and one of the founders, or the CEO and one of the founders of Rhymesayers, he had been kind of following me for a while. I don't know how much of that is owed to Brother Ali, because he's also been a supporter for a while.
They like she said, they like real hip hop, and they're, you know, they're one of the oldest independent hip hop labels in the country. Because you got Alchemist over there, you got MF Doom over there, Dilated Peoples over there. It's like all of this stuff, hip hop, you know what I mean? And so it just made a lot of sense. And the brother, you know, he was like, yeah, you want to do something? I'm like, sure. She's been doing stuff with some of them now. Like, she did a show with Aesop Rock. Mm-hmm. And that whole crowd is something new. It's a whole new crowd for us. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's a good thing. We're trying to spread the word. Because, you know, we do what we call God Hop. Mm-hmm. You know, and God Hop is hip hop all grown up. You know what I mean? And you can't really put no BS when you're doing God Hop. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do, man.
How did that term come about?
I had an artist years ago I was working with, Jay Electronic. He's come by the house when he was younger, and we were putting records together, and we said, we're going to do God Hop. And that's where it came from.
Side note. Anybody ever said that you remind them of Saul Williams?
Yes. Yeah, like a lot. And what was funny is like, I get kind of annoyed because all day on Twitter I'm like, oh, you look like so and so. You're like, and it's always white people. So I'm like, I'm really fucking tired of this shit. Y'all need to stop.
All the time.
And like they throw Joey Badass and just
ASAP Rocky.
Travis Scott. Like, yeah, some girl actually thought I really was Travis Scott and was like, I don't believe you.
Some kind of Chevy.
Yeah, somebody said that recently.
He doesn't look like him. It's just reminiscent.
That's exactly what they said. They were like, you don't look like Saul Williams, but the way you talk and the ideas you have, you guys are very similar. And I'm like, look, I'll take that as the highest compliment. I love Saul Williams.
That's the homie, right?
Yeah, his new record was unbelievable.
She got one with him.
Yeah, the new one. On Martyr Luther King?
There's a remix album.
I didn't hear that.
2 weeks ago, the remix album came out. She's the only feature on the album, rapper.
That's crazy.
She's on Roach Eggs.
Oh shit! Okay, I'm excited. I didn't know there. Okay, yeah, man, I'm gonna check that out. Yeah, I love Saul Williams. I'd love to meet him one day.
I've actually talked about this with Mike, like a while ago. Like we had like underground major conversations, you know, all the time. So when you chose like the career of being an MC, like was the goal like always to just have success in the indie world, or did you ever feel like you could take this on a major level, like a Mos Def or Talib, anybody like that, like? What was the thinking behind that?
I feel like once I really got into it, I definitely felt that I could go beyond the independent underground. Well, not independent, because I still want to stay independent, but like the underground realm. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was good enough. I felt like I had appeal. Mm-hmm. I feel like people feel like that's you being real by like, you know, F mainstream, stay underground till I die.
Right.
But then you're going to be performing to your friends for the rest of your life. No, right. The point is for my message to grow beyond like the people who already feel what I'm talking about. I want to reach people who may not have heard like lyricism like mine, may not have heard content like mine, may not have seen another MC like me, like with locks and natural hair, and you know, it's people who miss Lauryn Hill but don't know about Sal Rock. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm trying to get as much visibility as possible.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, it's funny when you say that. I always think about how we compare. We say, "Yo, I wish." Man, forget the mainstream. We need to do it like we used to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, who? They'd be like, Rakim, KRS-One,
right.
Public Enemy. All of them were on major labels.
Yeah, I know.
They were on MTV, exactly. BET, and the news.
And that's the reason why you know about
them. Yeah, that's the only reason
exactly.
you know.
Yeah.
The reason you know is because they were on TV, you know, and so it's really contradictory. That's most people just don't know. They just talk. They were all on major labels, and they all said what they wanted to say.
Yeah.
And that's where we plan on doing, taking it as far as we can take it and as wide as we can take it, because people are hungry for it.
Lord Finesse said in an interview, he said that when he started out, he wanted to be the best. And I feel like that a lot of rappers now are not, they want to be the best, but it's in a different way.
They want to be the best
money.
Talent. They want to have the most money.
Right.
They want to be the most popular. It's a big difference.
Exactly.
Right.
And they've I guess, flipped the narrative of what best is. Mm-hmm. How many albums are you selling? How much money you got and stuff like that.
First week numbers is looking at.
Right, exactly. And one of the things and the premise behind the show is that, you know, we want to challenge and we want to hold people accountable to a certain degree of like, nah, that wasn't good. You're better than that, if we know you're better than that. Or this project just didn't work out.
Or you should just be a spectator. Or an artist.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And what we've seen over the years of doing this show is we've seen that there are a lot of people that are looking for rappers like you, MCs like you, that create and put out the type of content that you put out. And we hear it all the time. Like we did Odyssey, right?
Yep.
And people were like, oh man, I never heard of Odyssey. Right, man, thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
We're gonna hear the same thing when it comes to you. People were like, oh man, I never heard of her. Thank you so much. You know, she's a dope MC. You know, and that's what we strive to do. Like we cover hip hop in all forms and fashions, but we also wanna definitely highlight and spotlight people that are dope and push them to the forefront and be like, no, you need to listen to them. Because they are good, and they're the ones that are gonna help continue to push this culture forward.
You have a line where you said, I'm more than just a pretty face, I can paint an image lyrically that I'll be painting for the illustration. So what prompted that line? Like, do you still feel like people look at you and they devalue your skill based on the fact that you're a woman?
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, I don't wanna sound arrogant, but I'm very confident about what I do. I feel like you may not like my style, but undeniably I'm a dope MC. So like I find my lack of presence from like popular like blogs and stuff like that, I feel has a lot to do with the fact that I'm a woman. I think that even from reading comments and stuff, people say things like, she cool, but I can't really get with female MCs. Like, just as a blanket, I've seen that several times. And it's so interesting. Like, they'll acknowledge that I'm dope, but just as general principle, can't, you know, you can't really get with women who rap like that. You know, as a society and as a genre, we have a long way to go as far as our treatment of women. And, you know, it's funny, I was talking to somebody, I think it was when I was on Sway, I was just like, I think there's this feeling of there can only be one. There can be only one woman who raps. That's on top. Everybody else is kind of just waiting for, like, waiting for their reign to topple or them to go into film or something like that before they can get on. You know what I'm saying?
The intro, Black Thought. What's the story with that?
That's my honorary big brother. He had heard about our music, and when he came down to A3C, and when was that, 2014,
yeah.
You know, we met, chopped it up, hey, I'm a big fan of your music, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying that to him. And he goes on stage, he's performing with J Period. We're sitting in the back listening, and all of a sudden we hear, yo, Sawrock here? Sawrock still here? And I'm like, oh my God. He put me out there, you know, it wasn't pre-planned or anything like that. And I got up there and rocked. And afterwards, him and like, who was it, Mad Skills was like,
wow, Mad Skills.
That's not a female MC, that's an MC. And that was just like, kind of like the stamp. And Black Thought was like, damn.
Yeah.
From that point, he actually invited me to perform at this charity event for, not charity, it's a fundraiser for this nonprofit organization with Rapsody and Rod Digga and him. And then we've just stayed like connected and stuff, and it's really dope. I performed with The Roots a couple of times, and he gives me advice. I get to pick his brain on like his process and all this stuff. And to have someone who I consider, he's like in my top five.
Yes.
Of MCs of all time.
Yes.
Extremely prolific, extremely just like, y'all saw that Harvard?
Yes.
Like, come on.
Whatever city they're in, if we're in, he'll be like, come on up. So now, you know, and they be testing her. They always,
yeah, like the last time I performed with The Roots, I was supposed to do like 20 bars or something like that. Yeah. And it was preset, and I rehearsed a little 20 bars. And then Quest, he specifically was telling me, yeah, 20 bars. Cause I was like, I could break it down to 16 if you want me to. Cause they have to like kind of change like their, the length of their thing. So he's like, no, it's 20 bars. He's like, oh, it's 20 bars. So I was like, okay, then cool. I'm on stage, he cuts it at 16. So I'm like, and luckily I'm able to adapt and cut it. And I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing.
Wow. They do that.
And this was in front of 34,000 people. Wow. So, you know, but it's dope to be able to perform and rock with people so seasoned. Mm-hmm. And like, they gotta be on. So yeah, I've been blessed to have been kind of like ushered into and be the of like several like notable people, so yeah. But that one, I still like randomly, I'll be like this. Like, thought gave me some feedback on my rhymes. And
do you feel like because of the type of rap you do that, you know, you're missing some people, or some people won't catch the message, or do you care about that, or like,
no, there's always that possibility.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, as we grow and develop, as I grow and develop, you know, it's a matter of kind of finding that middle ground where you're able to, you know, put the content in and then also make the music and the lyrics accessible to all types of people. Mm-hmm. I think that I had to kind of adjust. You know, I still love to use my vocabulary. My mother told me how to read early, and, you know, I love words. So, but I had to figure out how to make it less heady. Mm-hmm. Just make it more accessible to people who may not have read Deepak Chopra or like don't know anything about chakras or whatever, that may be able to be pulled in by my experience growing up in Southeast DC and being around, like coming up in the crack era or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then through that conversation, you know, talking about how I learned how to meditate at an early age, or like how this physical realm is just temporary, and like, you know, just adding those elements in little by little until, you know, I can, you know, get them hooked. Right. But that's one of the great things about, you know, doing the venture with Rhymesayers, is that just by numbers alone, their audience, the exposure that their audience will provide, will allow me to reach other people.